Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to your full Friday, Thursday morning, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 28th day of October 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you are waking up to what should be a relatively fine day again today. Kind of like a carbon copy, probably, of yesterday. With sun and clouds this morning, should be a fair amount of sunshine this afternoon, and a high today of 10 degrees. Tomorrow, more of the same. Again, mostly sunny and a high of 11. Enjoy it because the weekend looks pretty bleak at this point. With rain in the forecast, periods of rain for both Saturday and, unfortunately, for at least some of the day on Sunday as well, which, as we know, after a year's reprieve, Halloween is back this year. Looks like it might be a rainy Sunday. Maybe things will change. Maybe we'll have a period of a couple of hours. It's all you need, right? Except for those teenagers that come up after you shoot. Never mind. So it looks like a rainy weekend. High today, 10. Right now, we're at plus 2. As we say good morning and hello to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, Jer. Ready to rock and roll on a Thursday.
All right. Excellent. Good. All right.
I'm a little numb, to be honest with you. Okay. Yeah, everything that's happened in the hockey world and watching the Kyle Beach interview and just kind of reflecting on my own kind of growing up in junior hockey and knowing all the parties involved. Yeah, it was just lots of processing here to try to comprehend, understand, and get ready for 4 hours of radio to discuss what was obviously a very powerful interview last night.
It was incredibly. And we'll go through it and we'll hear excerpts from the interview that Request had did with Kyle Beach, who came forward very bravely himself and said, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's at the center of this abuse scandal with the Chicago Blackhawks. So we'll hear from him. We won't hear from Joel Quenneville because he decided not to speak after coaching for Florida last night, which some might question was whether the right decision or not. We'll also hear from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, who spoke for the first time about this as well after the Hawks loss to Toronto. So we'll get into all that throughout the morning. I certainly love your feedback. It is a huge story. Mm-hmm. But as we mentioned, you've got your dirty weekend ahead in Montreal. So tomorrow for you will be a mail-it-in Friday, followed by a weak-kneed Monday.
Big time.
Okay. So looks like you may be spending some time indoors because it's going to be rainy in Montreal this weekend.
Yeah. Well, Friday looks gorgeous, so hopefully can enjoy that. And Saturday,
you're heading out of Dodge like right after the show tomorrow?
No.
Like 10:05?
No, I'll head back to North Manitic. Then we'll end up going from there. So hopefully can get and enjoy the afternoon before the big dinner at Joe Beef. And got to be honest with you, a little hotel action with a nice view and a little rainy Saturday, sleep in and kind of enjoy the day. I can't consider that too bad.
All right, you'll be back by Sunday evening.
I will be,
is Halloween.
Yeah.
Now the boys will be going out, not going out, don't celebrate Halloween. What's the deal?
You know what, 13-year-old Zach was kind of undecided last I had heard. They are with their father this week.
Okay.
So I was curious as to, now we live in a condo, so it's not a big deal from a Halloween perspective, but was kind of curious, Jer, as to how many kids are going out during COVID, whether or not it's going to be a big thing. So, but they'll celebrate Halloween, but to be honest with you, I guess they're going out, yeah.
Okay, all right. All that to say, this is a bit of an unusual, because we had no Halloween last year. It was canceled.
Yeah.
So back this year, as you said, it's a bit of an unknown. I think most parents and most kids, I think, are going to go out. But I can't say it's 100%. Don't know that. And so it's a bit of a wild card for those of us who have kids that are now older. And so you're just welcoming kids to your door. And you have no idea, like, what... Are you going extra?
You load up on candy as an excuse anyway, and then you hope the kids don't come, and then you can just fire it down yourself,
Well,
right?
And so here, and I'm not sure why Popular Mechanics has come up with this formula.
This is things people need to know, and we need the expert minds of engineers to come up with these formulas to determine how much candy
you
need.
That's funny you say something like that, guys, because I've not heard that name in years and years, in a sense of when you used to go to the dentist, or when you do go, or you go to other places, when magazines were out, right?
Yes.
You'd see Popular Mechanics.
All right.
Maybe you see Hustler.
So,
maybe
Popular Mechanics, yes, Hustler. Oh, dear. Popular Mechanics did a story on the complicated formula that tells you if you've bought enough Halloween candy.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the formula is, and I'll explain what each letter represents as we go here, but it's T times K times G plus D times F times S divided by 75. Here's what it means.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay. All right. Okay. T stands for the amount of time in hours that you plan to hand out candy. So, Hammer, we'll use you. You're in a popular area. How many hours? So you write this down as we go. How many hours you plan to hand out candy?
I would say 3 hours.
3 hours. K is the estimated number of kids per hour that you expect to show up. This is a guess.
I would say 30.
30 kids per hour. So that's 3 times 30. G stands for the generosity factor. How many pieces you will give each child?
Okay, I would say 2.
2 per child.
So that's a multiplication again?
Yes, that's 2. Okay. We'll do the formula in a second. Just write these numbers down, okay? G equals 2. Okay. D is the number of days that you will have Halloween candy in your home.
Leading up to Halloween.
Yes. Have you bought the Halloween candy already?
Okay, my wife bought it on Sunday.
That will be 7 days. Wow. The number there, D, is 7. F is the number of family members in your home because they will eat some of the Halloween candy. That's 5, correct?
That's 5, exactly.
Yes. S stands for the sneak factor, the number of pieces your family will eat each day. All right.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? Because I already know.
It's a guesstimate.
I shook my head in disgust. My wife has already been in it. As I was sitting at the laptop, she asked to borrow the stool because I put the Halloween candy up high in the front hall closet. So she needed the stool so she could climb up and go get some.
Why wouldn't you just leave the stool there? Because you would have needed it as well to put it up
high. No, because I don't go... I don't go and get the candy.
It's just a normal shelf.
So.
Okay, let's do the math. Okay.
Well, I don't know the steal factor. Let's go with 5 pieces a day.
Okay.
Stealing is hard to estimate, though, because everybody in the house could be a thief.
Yes.
Okay, 5 pieces a day times 7 days. So I believe that S would be 35.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. So it is T, which is.
3
times K,
which is 30.
Okay, times 30 times G,
which is 2.
2, so 3 times 30 is 180. 90 plus, 180. You're at 180.
Yep.
Okay. Plus D, that's
the
number
the days,
of days. Yes.
7.
So you're 187. Okay. See, this is where it gets into...
Oh, come on, popular mechanics.
What is the math formula again where you do the thing within the...
Bed mass.
So it's plus D times F times... I believe it's a separate one. So it's D. D was what again?
7.
7 times F.
Which
F
is 5.
F was family members.
Yep, which is 35.
Times S.
Times S, which was 35 again.
Okay, so...
Because that was the number of pieces of candy that they think per child, per person... I'm thinking 5 total.
Okay.
I'm thinking 5 total.
So
just
35
5.
Times 5?
Times 5. Yeah. Yes.
Which is
175.
No. 150. Yeah, 175. Sorry.
175. Okay.
So it sounds like you're out of candy.
180 plus 175?
Plus 175.
355?
355.
Okay. Minus. Divided by 75.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
I think 355 is the number, is the pieces of candy I need to get through. Is it 355 pieces of candy?
No, that seems high. I'm just going to get my calculator out here. So 355 divided by 75 would be 4 pieces. Yeah, so
there would be no math.
Why don't we do 355 minus 75 and we get to 280?
So that's how much I need?
You needed. That's what you needed to buy.
Does that not seem like a lot?
That was very high. Yeah. Well, you give out 2 pieces.
I'm giving out. We tend
to go because we're a little unsure. Our area is all over the map. Yeah. Can be a lot, can be little.
Yeah.
No way of knowing. It kind of has to, you know, as your neighborhood sort of changes over, are there older kids, younger kids, whatever. We tend to be a little more sparse, maybe early, and then tend to load it up because I want to get it all out by the end of the night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And I do tend to buy a little bit over because I would like a little bit left over because the kids don't share. They don't share. They know
children.
Exactly how much candy is in that bowl.
That's bad parenting.
Well, I do take some at the end of the night
candy tax.
When they're gone.
Yep.
But then they're pretty... they've got some keen eyes on what their favorite pieces are. So,
but
I know
But do you know where they store it, and then you'll go and hit it during the day?
Oh no, it's in the cupboard. It's right there. I know exactly where it is. They've got to compile it all together. They can't send it in and take it into their rooms.
How long do you throw it out? What do you give them?
I give it 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I give it 2 weeks.
Wow. I used to give 3 days.
3 days. That's
three
it.
3 days.
Oh,
yeah.
What the heck
and
is
right
that?
Right into the garbage.
What's the rationale what's the rationale for throwing it out?
Just, you don't need to finish it.
Yeah.
You've got
most of we could all agree most of the Smarties have been in there for 10 years in the box itself. Right?
Absolutely.
Probably recycle those for next year. You're right.
Was that part of the marketing plan that the Smartie would taste like the box? No,
eventually?
They always do.
The cardboard
like,
flavor.
I've never had Smarties that didn't taste like they've sat there for years.
Yeah, I don't mind
right?
the odd Smartie. I got to say, I don't mind the odd Smartie. So, anyway, what'd you guys buy this year? You got the little Kit Kat Smartie box,
if it lasts,
Coffee Crisp. That
I've
one?
Got, I've got that box. I don't like that box. That
really?
Box is boring.
What do you like better?
I like the box with the Reese's pieces.
Oh, see, I'm not a Reese's guy.
And I think you get the Snickers and the Twix.
Mm.
That's the box that I enjoy, and I always love to support Bell Vegas, so I get the Hawkins Cheesies too to hand out. Oh, god dang, I love those Hawkins Cheesies.
Hawkins Cheesies, that's from
Bell Vegas.
Oh, cool, cool.
So I like to hand those out as well, just kind of spread the word about the good word on Cheesies.
Yeah,
because Cheetos they suck. All right, they're absolute trash.
Those jalapeno Cheetos. I've told you about that.
No.
The hard Cheetos are way better than the soft. Like, soft Cheesies are the worst thing ever on your teeth.
See, the Hawkins is the perfect in-between.
Oh, is it? Okay, okay.
Yes.
Where do I find those? Is it the store?
Yes.
I've never heard of them.
Beside the Vacheron Cakes.
Yes, I've never heard or seen Hawkins
really?
Cheesies.
No, come
never.
On.
No, what, I don't one, know what I'm looking for. What to, is it
it's,
an orange?
Well, first of all, it says Hawkins Cheesies. It's an orange bag. You can get them in different forms. You can get them in,
what am I
and I'm
for?
Sitting on the couch for a while, yeah. and I'm going to go yeah. through the entire bag.
Okay.
Or you can get a bigger bag that's got three different cylinders in there.
What?
Yes, three different
like
bags.
Like a normal cheesy bag has three cylinders?
Yes, has like three different
you
compartments.
You go different levels? Like you have a breakthrough? And you do level one, level two, and level three?
Well, if you don't want to hammer through an entire bag and say, I'm just going to take this one, that way the other cheesies don't go stale, and they stay in their own little compartments.
They're sealed?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty unique.
That's pretty
actually.
Smart.
That is pretty
and
smart.
And that's from Belleville.
Also, if you're shopping,
which isn't a very smart place,
but
as they know.
If you're shopping as well, guys, you have to make sure that PepsiCo is also the place that that gives out the chips and all your different stuff, right? Because PepsiCo is the one that carries Doritos, carries Miss Vicky's, carries all the real brands. I've been into one food chain here in Ottawa that didn't have it, and I just rolled right through. I'm like, man, there's nothing there that anybody at home. I'm not a big junk food guy, but when it comes to chips, I would think most people would agree that Miss Vicky's is the gold standard these days when it comes to chips.
Miss Vicky's,
at least in our house.
A good dip. Hell of a good dip onion. Yeah,
yeah,
you're good.
Yeah.
I don't mind a good Cape Cod chip, too.
Oh, very, very solid.
They've got to be that kettle chip. There's got to be some crunch. You got to rip your mouth open.
Yeah, totally. Eh? It's all like you go to have the Lay's one now or stuff like that, and it's like eating a piece of cardboard.
You can't have it break off in the dip.
I was told when we went out to New Brunswick in the summer that we had to stop at there's a famous chip place that the chips are so, I can't remember, it's not like Mill River, but it's like something like that. And so I didn't have them when I was out there, but then I saw them in the store when I got back, and I got to try that chip. And it was like, this chip tastes like all the other chips.
Oh.
It was a good chip, but I mean, it was, nothing I needed to stop at. The guy's like, you got to stop at the Mill River potato chip factory in Joel Blow, New Brunswick, man. It's fantastic.
But back in the day, guys, it used to be regionalized, right? I remember British Columbia had a particular chip. There were chips that, hey, you didn't get in different places.
Old Dutch out west. Was that the chip?
Absolutely, Hammer. There you go. And now everything is pretty standardized, right? You can go anywhere in the country and pretty much anywhere in North America, you're going to get the same snacks other than when you over to the chocolate aisle, right? When you go down to the United States, you got a lot more of the Hershey and a lot more of what would it be, Nestle? Would that be the two big American brands, boys?
I think so.
Yeah, that is where when I'd come back to
Cadbury.
Canada. Yeah, when I was living in the United States and I'd come back to Canada, that's one thing I appreciated. Having a nice little, all the different candy bars that we end up having here.
Hey, mental note to people that are handing out the trick or treats, no cans of pop, please. That weighs down. Yeah, don't hand out the cans.
Are people handing out those minis now, Hammer? Is that what they're doing? The mini cans?
I don't even want that.
Don't even do that.
I don't even want that.
Apples. Stop with the apples.
Yeah. stop. You're not kidding. You're not fooling
Obviously,
anybody.
Don't do anything baked yourself. Nobody wants to see it.
Covered Bridge. That's the name of the potato chip that I was talking about. Covered Bridge. You find that in the store.
So you can find that in the store here
and
in Ontario.
And Hawkins Chips, apparently you can find a Giant Tiger.
Giant Tiger, yeah. Food Basics. Well, you can get them everywhere.
All right. There we go.
Everywhere,
and they're so good.
Everywhere you don't go. But anyway.
Who doesn't go to Walmart?
Josh is thanking us for reminding us, reminding him that he's not in math class right now. So, anyway, there you go. If you'd like that formula, we'll pass it along again for a Halloween coming up on Sunday. All right, 6:24. We got lots to get to. World Series Game 2. Houston wins it. We've got an NHL slate. Big win for the Leafs last night. Oilers lose for the first time. We'll get you the latest on the Sens, who went out to Dallas a day early to begin their first road trip down to the U.S. since, well, the California trip, pre-pandemic. So we'll chat about that, and we'll get into the Cal Beach story as well, which was the big story of the day yesterday, as he revealed himself as the John Doe in the Chicago Blackhawk report. I'll get all the reaction to that as well, and much more. It's a Thursday, so we got NFL football coming up tonight. A reminder to get your picks in, so we'll go through that. Latest on the Red Blacks as well. They play Calgary tomorrow. So we got some winning for you, our $1,000 minute. Couple of final opportunities today and tomorrow to get in on our King of the Grills contest. Or we get a woman contestant, Queen of the Grills contest. All right, so we have that as well, chance to qualify. We'll talk to Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey insider as well. So it's a busy Thursday. We're glad you're with us to kick it off. Hope you're not too hungry after all that treat talk here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. All right, welcome back, 6:29. J.R. Simmerhammer here. Here's a reminder. Get your picks in for our football pick'em pool because Week 8 kicks off tonight. Should be a great game. Green Bay at Arizona. Be better. I mean, there's tons of Packer fans out there if Devontae Adams was playing in the game. But at this point, he's been ruled out. But I still read something yesterday that said if he gets a second negative test that maybe he can get there. But it doesn't look like. I would not count on him playing tonight. Yeah. It'll be a big blow for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers as the 6-1 pack will meet the NFL's last unbeaten team, the 7-0 Arizona Cardinals. And hard to think, but I don't know that the Cardinals, because they're the Cardinals, are getting a ton of respect around the NFL right now. I think a lot of people look at them and go, yeah, I need a signature win from you. So maybe that comes tonight versus Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, a game we'll have for you here on TSN 1200 at 8 o'clock. What are you guys on for the pick and pull? Taking the pack, they get 2 points. Ooh, if you pick the road team. Yeah. Or are you going with Arizona, which, by the way, is a 6.5-point pick?
Yeah, up for 3.5, JR, because that one fella's out. That must be a big thing on the gambling line, right, whether or not he's playing? Because it did move the needle from... Now, if I put down my bet, JR, and it's at 6... If the fella decides to play Mr. Adams and it goes back down to 3, am I locked in at 6?
Yeah.
Is that the way gambling works?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when you make your bet.
I think I took Arizona on the pick and pull. I already locked and loaded yesterday.
Now you can change if you'd like.
So. I was really out in front of identifying Kyler Murray. That's pretty funny. But anyways, and Hammer also said J.J. Watt's now toast for the year.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, so, how many years now has J.J. Watt had season-ending surgery?
It's only a matter of time.
Well, he's like that guy. He's like kind of you're running down like the robot where like the arm comes off and then the leg comes off.
You're
and
right. He's not dead yet.
Well, I'm just thinking more like modern day. And he's got a lot of braces on and stuff, right? There's only a matter of time. And unfortunate, right? I mean, very likable fella. But yeah, that's
Just wait and you expect it. Yeah. How many games am I going to get out of J.J. Watt this season? Yeah.
All right. So you're on Arizona, Hammer.
I am still on the Packers right now. I like Aaron Rodgers and picking up this challenge of, hey, I'm missing, you know, maybe 2/3 of my receiving core here, maybe even more. And so I like the challenge of him kind of stepping up and showing that, hey, I can do this no matter who I'm throwing the ball to.
Right. What that really means is that he's really good when there's no pressure, because we actually know that in recent years as well, when the pressure is on him, he does not perform.
What are you talking about with
Rodgers? Oh, that whole stunt he pulled last year in the playoffs, pretending that he thought they were going to go for it on fourth down. Well, if you thought that, you would have ran for the goal line instead of trying to throw the ball and then throwing the coach under the bus. For a guy that has accomplished as much as he has, Hammer, he has only got one Super Bowl. I don't think he's been a clutch guy whatsoever. Been unbelievable off the charts quarterback, but I don't think you'd say playoff-wise that he's been incredible.
I am going to give it some more thought, though, and I might change my pick.
Okay.
What do you go, Jarrett?
No, I'm with you. I've chosen Green Bay for now.
Okay.
But I reserve the right to change my pick at the last minute, which you can do in our pool. You just have to go and click on the other side. So I'm going to wait and see. I just have read these conflicting things on Adams. I think he's not going to play, but that's a huge one for me. I mean, I got a stat. I'll get into it later this morning, the stat of when Devontae Adams plays and when he doesn't and the effect on the Packers' offense, et cetera.
But they're 6-0 with him out, right, Jer?
They are 6-0 with him. Yeah, that's one of the stats I had. So, but there are other
I already brought that stat earlier in the week.
Well, there you go.
Because Zimmer did his research.
There are other – he was watching SportsCenter before.
No. The overnight guy is really into the gambling part. So that was the whole thing he was laying down. I kind of understood that, Jer, but just quickly that it initially opened up as a 3-point line and moved up that quickly based on it, and he was kind of oohing and on about what a big deal that was.
All right, so the game goes tonight. Get your picks in. Again, it's a new game every week. It's absolutely free to play, and it's a great grand prize courtesy of your friends at Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. It's $100 for our best picker of the week. Again, 2 points if you pick the road team and they win. That's the little hook on our pool, so make sure you get your picks in. You can find it on our website at tsn1200.ca, and we'll carry tonight's game for you here on TSN 1200 with kickoff shortly after 8 o'clock. It's an off night for the World Series, which heads to Atlanta, now tied at 1. The Astros started the scoring early and often, and the Atlanta defense didn't help.
Max Fried in a jam here in the second inning. A run in, two men on with a one out. And the 1-1, a slider pulled through the hole into left field, a base hit. Gurriel around third, he'll come in to score. Seary to third, the throw gets away to the backstop. Seary will score! Maldonado to second. And it is 4-1 Houston.
That play was on defense, was a little like Little League Baseball right there, where the left fielder picks it up. He throws it to third. There's nobody at third. Looks like the shortstop is running over to cover third. I'm not sure where the third, I didn't see, where was the third baseman who should have been on third? Maybe is he going out to be the cutoff man? Not sure what the situation
is
there.
Not usually with third, yeah.
Throw gets by third base because there's no one standing there. Goes to the backstop. The pitcher's running for it. The catcher runs for it. The pitcher's covering home. It was a bit of Keystone Cops for the Braves defensively. The Astros put up a 4 spot in the second to get out to a 5-1 lead and cruise to a 7-2 win over Atlanta to tie the World Series at a game apiece.
And we know now Houston's going to win the World Series, guys. That's where I'm feeling it. I'm assuming the fella that broke his leg is their best pitcher. Would that be accurate?
Charlie Morton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Morton and the Canadian fella has been out for a long time, so this points to me that the Astros now, if you've lost your best starter, they win Game 2, that they are going to end up winning the World Series, much to the dismay of anybody outside of Houston.
Well, you took that one game, and that's huge in Houston for Atlanta, because now the Astros head to Atlanta, and now they don't have a DH. So now they start playing a game that they don't usually play, and you've got to start thinking about double switches and stuff. So, I don't know. I think this series will end up back in Houston, but I think the Braves will be up 3-2, and then it'll be a fun final couple of games.
I do agree with you. I'm not Atlanta has just found a way. All, especially in the playoffs. So I'm not going to dismiss them entirely. I think it's for sure when Atlanta loses their arguably their best pitcher, it's not going to help them. He would have started at least one more game and maybe two on short rest, depending on how the schedule worked itself out. So it's not ideal for them. But as I said, they have found a way. They had no outfielders left in the middle of the season, traded for 4 of them, and now find themselves in the World Series. So they just seem to be a team that that gets it done when it needs to get done. So, yeah. And maybe that's my heart over my head.
That's true.
And the Astros aren't loaded on starting pitching either, so it'll make it interesting.
And the fellow that went to second base, is that Candy Maldonado?
Great name.
Name your Maldonados. Yeah, exactly. Wait, Martin Maldonado is his name, so he's the catcher.
Is this far enough along that could be his son? Or I might lose track of the decades here. Like when I'm saying Candy Maldonado, am I going back?
That's Blue Jays
that's
of
1992.
It is a possibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm gonna say no, only because, and again, I'm not watching a ton of the playoffs, but I don't know that it's come up in everything I've kind of read or heard. Yeah. But you know, stranger things have happened.
Well, I don't think when you hear the name of Maldonado, you're gonna have Joe Buck talk about the great Candy Maldonado back in the day, and that this is his nephew or son or something like that.
Well, he was a relatively well-known player, not a superstar,
not but a superstar
he was a known
a
entity.
Because of his name, Candy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's where it begins and ends.
I like candy. All right, so Astros win 7-2, Series 1-1. Atlanta will host Game 3 coming up tomorrow. Hockey on the ice. We'll start there, and the Leafs were in Chicago. Of course, Leafs foundering. Hawks with all kinds of controversy and dealing with COVID as well. So this was going to be always an interesting game for a bunch of different reasons. Hawks went up 2-0. Leafs battled back, got it to 2-2. Let's go to overtime.
Blackhawks get the puck down into the slot, and a shot by Jones. Went off the blocker, and now the Leafs countering. Up ahead to Nylander, a breakaway, he's in, a goal! Scores! Holy mackerel! Willie Nylander wins it in overtime on a breakaway!
There you go. There's Joe Bowen with the call of William Nylander's game-winning goal in overtime. Leafs get off the schneid with a much-needed win, 3-2 over Chicago. In extra time, came back, as we said, from 2-0 down. Jack Campbell, 27 saves. The Leafs outshot the Hawks 25 saves. 38-27, I believe, was the final shots. But Jack Campbell made a bunch of fantastic saves, both when Chicago was up and then when the game was tied as well, and then made that save on Seth Jones just before Nylander gets sprung for the breakaway and the game-winning goal. So once again, Jack Campbell on top of his game.
Yeah, I've been nothing but impressed by MJR. And you look at that, I'd say less than impressive in watching. They did outshoot Chicago 17-7, but to come out the way they were in such an urgent game and understanding where the heck the Blackhawks are as an organization and a hockey team, yeah, it was just, well, you had to win it. You did win it. But as I said, the start, I'd still be a little nervous if I'm a Leafs fan. But boy, I've been, like I said, with Jack Campbell, that is a real nice find, a real nice story, and he has turned into a real nice starting goaltender in the National Hockey League.
He is also playing himself into a very large contract, UFA
sure,
at the end
sure.
of this year. So Toronto, you know, in the offseason or back to last year, you know, you looked at this coming year for Toronto and this coming offseason, you go, well, it's all about Morgan Rielly. Are they going to be able to find the dough to sign Morgan Rielly? Does he want to stay there, et cetera, et cetera? Well, not only you have Morgan Rielly to make a decision on and to deal with, but now you got Jack Campbell as well, who, you know, is on a very far below market contract right now. Now, a lot of it will be predicated on his ability to get her done if and when they get to the playoffs, and he's the guy. There's a lot of racetrack between now and then. But as it sits here right now, Toronto, I mean, they signed Mrazek to a 3-year deal, I guess, as part of insurance in case maybe Campbell outprices himself for Toronto's ability to keep him.
Yeah, I would look at Campbell, JR, even if he doesn't do well in the playoffs. He's a $5 million goaltender right now. Now, what's the market? As you said, so much will be predicated on where the Leafs go. And then this is another segment of, in the entire time, the Leafs have not developed any goaltender of their own. And for Jack Campbell, guys, how they're intertwined between he and Matt Murray, I think is such a neat story going back to junior, where Murray became the backup in the Sioux. Then all of a sudden he turns pro, wins multiple Stanley Cups, gets traded to Ottawa, gets a pretty large contract. You got another guy that's a first-round pick, JR, flailing around, ends up in Toronto, and now late in his 20s will finally, you know, hit a bit of a home run financially. It's an incredible journey of both of these guys. Like I say, intertwined back to junior, but like I said, I have been in, it's not always pretty with Jack Campbell, but he's so efficient and so steady and just appears obviously loved by his teammates. He's got a little bit of that Eddie Belfour battle in him.
Yeah, it is not, I always talk about, you know, Philip Gustafson from a Senator's point of view, right? It's all very technically sound the way he plays net. You wouldn't say that about Jack Campbell, right? He's kind of flailing around. He's doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, keeps the puck out.
Yeah, and it's almost a throwback style. Like, Jerry, I don't even know if it's his equipment as well. Like, he looks a little bit like kind of a 90s, early 2000s goaltender. But you could also, in the game here, and it was Mrazek, terrible early, better later. But as soon as he hopped in the Ottawa game when Mrazek got hurt, you just notice the difference in, like I said, he is extremely efficient, battles real hard, and yeah, he's going to get his payday, whether it be with the Leafs or somebody else this summer.
Edmonton Oilers went home 5-0, one of four unbeaten teams around the National Hockey League. They were taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. They exited the game no longer unbeaten.
Sent up and now in over the line on the right wing. Shot scores right through. It went right through Mikko Koskinen. I think that was a five-hole goal.
It's a terrible
goal. Hard shot by Atkinson, and it gets through, and it is 4-3 for Philadelphia.
Yeah, second goal of the game for Cam Atkinson, who the Flyers got from Columbus for Jakub Voracek. In the summer, he's got six goals already this year, just Cam Atkinson. And the Flyers go on to beat the Oilers 5-3, knock Edmonton from the ranks of the unbeaten. And, of course, with Mike Smith injured, it's now Mikko Koskinen in net for the Oilers. And as you heard, if you haven't seen the highlight, not a great game-winning goal for Philly.
Yeah, and for a guy, Mikko Koskinen, JR, had been off to a great start, great numbers. But that's your expectation, right? That when the pressure's on or the media, there's a bad goal, you kind of point to him. But like I said, he's been good in Philadelphia. Surprising kind of mix and not really totally sold on their group, but that's a big victory for them. And as you said, Voracek, I don't think has a goal with Columbus, although he's very close to a point of game player, and Atkinson playing very well since coming over.
One other game of note last night, if only because, well, a couple of Sens related. First of all, the Sens are playing Dallas tomorrow. That's their next game, and they're down in Dallas, so perhaps doing some scouting at the game last night between Vegas and Dallas. Vegas, again, down like the Leafs were, came back to tie it in the final 90 seconds to send it to overtime, and guess who gets the game winner?
Now with a steal, Wall for Dodonov for the winner, and he scores! Evgeny Dodonov in overtime! What a win for the Golden Knights in Dallas!
There you go. Yes, he used to be known as the Daddy. Dadonov, Evgeny Dadonov, is now Dodonov since he's gone to Vegas. And he gets the game winner for Vegas as they beat Dallas 3-2.
Yeah, and not a ton of stats here, but I had talked to some Vegas people. I should, that's a lie. I talked to one person in Vegas who actually liked him, but anyways. 7 games in, 2 goals and an assist. The thing I like that he's at least trending, he's got 21 shots on goal, so at least he's doing that part of it, and let's see where this kind of goes from a standpoint, and I think we'd all agree that it was a nice money dump by Ottawa and a nice pickup in Holden, but certainly still missing a little bit of offense, especially on that right side. The Ottawa Senators?
Yeah. Yeah, from Vegas's point of view, and again, remains to be seen, and obviously they think that Dodonov is going to rediscover his goal-scoring form from his Florida days, but that essentially was Marc-Andre Fleury for Evgeny Dodonov. And I know you can only play one goalie at a time. I get that. I understand that. You had Robin Lehner signed to a long-term contract, but if you were going to get rid of the security blanket, it was Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
My own feel on it is you could have done better than
yeah,
Dodonov.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Now, Pete DeBoer had him in Florida, so there's a bit of an inside to that, JR. So obviously your scouting staff feels like that's a one-off. Was it COVID? I didn't think he was in very good shape here in Ottawa. That was just my kind of eye test. But it also tells you from a Vegas standpoint, JR, they have given up so many assets over the years that basically taking on a salary while removing one and getting rid of Holden's contract, that's pretty much what they were looking for, right? They've given up so much in the Tatar deal with Detroit, then turned around and flipped for Pacioretty, gave up a first-round pick in Stone and a second in Sokolov that ended up being like, you know, they've given up a lot of assets, I guess is my point. So they were looking for a soft daddy dump.
The soft daddy dump. Wow, that's what happens after you have a lot. What are those cheesies called again? Meyer's cheesies?
No, that does not happen with Hawkins cheesies.
Hawkins, no, you sure?
All the food coloring makes it a certain color, though.
Oh, no.
Made with real Canadian cheese. It's right on the bag.
Cheese is spelled with an A.
Yeah. Goes in one way, comes out another.
Chaz.
All right, 6:46. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Sens. They're already in. Dallas, mentioned, went down a day early. We got that. The B-Sens played on TSN 1200 last night. Big win and a breakout night for Igor Sokolov and Jacob Bernard-Docker. So we'll get into that. And the Raptors with a much-needed win on home court. We'll get to the Kyle Beach story. This is certainly the biggest story of the day after 7 o'clock this morning and hear from him. As he came out yesterday as the John Doe in the Chicago Blackhawks report. And we'll get into all of that coming up after 7 as we continue along here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, 6:48. Astros win the World Series game, 7-2 over the Braves. Series tied 1-1 going back to Atlanta tomorrow night for Game 3. We'll get to the Sens in just a second. The B-Sens, the Belleville Senators, were in action last night here on TSN 1200. Back in Belleville, taking on Rochester. They were 1-3 to start the year, coming off a couple losses on the weekend. Weren't scoring a whole heck of a lot. We had Jack Miller on, who does the play-by-play, of course, on yesterday. And we're talking about... Well, Simmer, you said, I'm looking at the bottom of the stats page and seeing all the players that Ottawa wants to perform well right now. In other words, they're not doing much.
No, no.
That changed last night.
Sens breaking out, Hetherington handing off, Sokolov carrying it in. Here's Igor Sokolov, scores! Well, he scored in the fifth game last year with his first. He will score in the fifth game this year with his first.
That was first of two that actually Igor Sokolov would score on the night. He would add a pair of assists. So he goes from no points to 4 points in one game. As Belleville wins it 7-3, and we should mention that Jacob Bernard-Docker, who's normally talking about him in terms of points and goal production, etc., from the back end, but he scored not one but two goals last. In fact, first two goals of the game, his first two professional goals, which I'm sure he's feeling pretty good about it as well. So a lot of the better young players for the Sens got on the score sheet last night as they win 7-3.
Yeah, it's such a funny measurement, JR, because for most players, it's the American Hockey League. Now, when you equate stats, it's pretty simple of, hey, all I want is to know, for Ottawa, hey, are you playing well? I want to be tracking, I want to get called up. And as far as JBD guys, I'm just really intrigued to see where this goes because there's not a lot of flash. And as Jack Miller talked about yesterday, JR, once the equation of the physical maturity comes with him, he's going to slide in and be one hell of a hockey player. But until that comes, he's not going to be. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But my point is, I almost feel like he's a bit under the radar because I think when that arrival happens, there's so much great things that he does in his game. But right now, he's just not physically, you know, to me, it's just a little maturation. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's going to be in your lineup. And you're going to be like, ah, that's exactly what the Ottawa Senators need.
Belleville now 2-3. They got a pair of games against the Marlies coming up this weekend, including on Saturday afternoon. A game we'll have for you here on TSN 1200. Meanwhile, the Ottawa Senators are in Dallas. Now, they don't play until tomorrow night to start the road trip against the Stars. Typically, teams fly out the day before a game to get into the city, but the Sens, for a number of different reasons, decided to go out a day early. This is their first trip to the United States since the California trip, which is pre-pandemic. So we're talking over 18 months ago since the Sens have played a game down in the United States. So I don't think they wanted to leave things to the last minute in case there were some hurdles as far as just going cross-border, etc. So they went yesterday, get in a day early to prepare for the Stars. Here is DJ Smith talking about staying safe on the road.
Well, for sure. You just want to stay together. We're together all day anyways. You just can't be in crowds, and you can't be around other people. I mean, obviously, you're seeing what, you know, there's all kinds of guys that are being put in COVID protocols. So just stay around our group, and you'll be fine. If you, you know, if you're going to go out to eat, stay in your group. And then, you know, Pierre, you know, certainly told the group that this morning. We're going to do everything we can so that we stay healthy.
There you go. So Sens are playing three in a row on the road. Right after the game tomorrow, they're going to go to Chicago. They'll spend the weekend in Chicago because they don't play the Hawks until Monday night. But a lot of emphasis being put on. There's far less restrictions than there were last year when you only played in Canada. And, COVID was not nearly as widespread in Canada as it was in the United States, but it was still a concern. Now you're down in the U.S. The numbers there are starting to go down, but it's still, you know, there's still very, you know, there's a decent chance you can contract it. You got to be careful when you're out on the road.
Well, and in Texas, JR, there never was COVID. People are in denial. You know, so yeah, the behavior now, this also takes a lot of discipline. You got a lot of young players. I'm going to Dallas. It's a great place to hang out. I'm going to Chicago for the weekend, and I'm not just talking about nightclubs. I'm talking about going to pubs, bars, whatever. You know, hey, you got to have some discipline here in doing this. This is two cities that still, well, Dallas right now, you're still getting great weather. Chicago in the fall right now. So yeah, very important because, as I said, not necessarily a risk to your health being vaccinated, but as you said, all of a sudden you could be put on the COVID list and you could run into some trouble. And I think for Dallas as well, Jeremy, my guess, maybe some COVID thoughts, but more than anything, it's a pretty good haul, and I don't think that's a bad idea. As you look at it as basically as a crow flies, I don't think you're going, if you went Ottawa Vancouver, Ottawa Dallas is almost the same distance, so hey, not a bad idea to get there a day early and just get the legs comfy.
All right, when they play tomorrow, we could see a couple of new faces in the lineup on the fourth line. Dylan Gambrell, the player they got from San Jose on the weekend for a seventh-round pick, got to town late Tuesday night in time to practice yesterday and then get right on the bird and go to Dallas. He's in Ottawa in less than 24 hours, but here is the newest Sen and what he brings to the team.
Yeah, I think I can bring speed and, you know, some energy. I think skating is my, you know, biggest asset, so if I could bring some energy, you know, help win some faceoffs and then, you know, be good on the PK and, you know, eventually bring some offense, I think that's what I can bring.
Oh, we got everybody but good in the room. I can bring some good in the room, too. Huh? Brings everything else.
Yeah.
So there's Dylan Gambrell, who will right shot Looks like he'll center the fourth line tomorrow night.
Yeah, interesting talking to people about him, JR, is that really he was known at DU as an offensive player, and the part that he's had a hard time with, he skates well, but that's not really been his role as being a fourth-line energy guy, so I think he's trying to adapt to that. He'll get a fresh start here in Ottawa, so we'll get a look at him, but like I said, really, if you look at his stats and what he was projected to be, was actually probably projected to look more like Josh Norris, at least when he was at DU, so it hasn't happened yet, but... Anything new and exciting and improve the fourth line, I'm excited, and hopefully Austin Watson makes it into the lineup pretty soon as well.
Yeah, he practiced yesterday for the first time. He was hurt in the last game before of the preseason, an ankle injury, and he practiced for the first time yesterday. They think he might be able to go tomorrow, if not tomorrow, certainly at some point on the road trip, but at least yesterday at practice, you had two-thirds of a new fourth line because Logan Shaw and Scott Sabourin played there in the game on Monday. They were not in the regular rotation yesterday, and Gambrell and Watson were not necessarily game changers, but I think just better hockey players. Yeah. And that only is going to help the team.
And I think Watson's presence, JR, and again, for a guy like Brown, he's a bigger body and appears to be a nice fella. I don't sense a presence there, and I don't just mean that physically, but I think Austin Watson as a voice, certainly as a teammate, I think he's an important part. No, he's only a fourth-line player, and hopefully the combination of two-thirds and some new buds will get old Sanford and Son rocking and rolling as well, maybe get a little something out of him.
Yeah. I don't know that that Josh Brown stays in the lineup based on his performance the other night. I mean, if they're still trying to find their way as far as the three defensemen beyond Shabbat, Zubin, Holden, who those are going to be based on his play and based on DJ Smith's comments after the game, not singling out Josh Brown, but singling out the defense in particular as not being very good. Yeah. I would have to think there's a better than even chance that Josh Brown may end up getting scratched, and not that he's a fighter. But he brings that physical element. But if Austin Watson comes in, again, they're trying to make it so that Brady Tkachuk doesn't fight.
Yeah.
And I'm an advocate of if you're going to have someone dress in a role of a fighter or dropping the, or being willing to drop the gloves, I would much rather have it as my fourth-line player than as one of my six defensemen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and I would just prefer that the person can play. Now, as far as taking him out, I'm not a fan of Delzato. You're also hitting the road. We'll see what happens, and I'm assuming if you do that, JR, you go back to Delzato, Zaitsev, and then is it Mete Holden? And, hey, that's the unfortunate right now. If you base it on the last game, I'd like to make three switches. So, but like I said, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but unfortunately, I don't think the options are great or much of an improvement, and maybe not any improvement.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out. I think the Sens are practicing in Dallas today, I believe, but we do know they're going to play tomorrow night. 8:30 is the face-off time as the Sens will take on the Stars to kick off a three-game road trip. Again, no games this weekend in Chicago Monday and then in Minnesota to wrap it up on Tuesday. And then they're back home 1 week from tonight versus Vegas. And we'll find out at that point. I haven't read Vegas lately to find out what the status of Mark Stone is. He's been missing several games now with an injury, so don't know if he's on the cusp of coming back or whether he'll be out and won't play. Is he play a game here in Ottawa, Hammer? Mark Stone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One? Okay, so he has had one comeback game? Okay, so it won't be like we haven't seen him before. But
that trade will be, will it be 4 years of spring or 3 years of spring?
It was Carlson was the fall of 2018, so he would be the spring of 2019. So that would be two and a half years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, get you the latest news, run down the scoreboard for you. Again, Houston wins the World Series game. Raptors win, a much-needed home court win. And we roll through the NHL scores for you as well, a much-needed victory for the Maple Leafs. When we come back, though, we're going to get into the big story of the day. I keep wanting to call him Chris Beach because that's the NHL player I'm more familiar with. Kyle Beach made his name public yesterday as the John Doe named in the Hawks investigation. And gave a very, very, just an incredible interview on TSN last night with Rick Westhead, about 23 minutes or so long. I'm going to bring you some excerpts of what he had to say. And again, some of the fallout that is to come from not only the Hawks, but maybe with Joel Quenneville and Kevin Cheveldayoff and everything that's going on with that continuing story, which continues to evolve. So we'll get into all of that after the top of the hour. Coming up right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.